Fox on it.
Hey everyone, just taking a quick 15 seconds to let you know that my new book, The Fitness Mindset, Eat for Energy, Train for Attention, Manage Your Mindset, and Reap the Results, which hit the bestseller list within 24 hours of its release, is now available to buy on Amazon. So if you're looking for everything you need to get into incredible shape and the mindset to keep it forever, be sure to check it out. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset. With your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is going to be a little bit of a different one. I'm going to talk on the top five books that have changed my life. So I know a lot of you that listen to the podcast are either into reading or you're into audiobooks or you're into podcasts or videos that break down the ideas in books. So hopefully today's episode will help break down some of the ideas in the books that have probably changed my life more than any others. So before I get into the books that have helped me, for those of you who've been following me a while, you know I'm a big reader. I read two or three books every week between audiobooks and physical books. And one of the biggest things that has changed for me over the last probably 2 years that has completely changed the trajectory of my life is reading more books and getting up earlier. So now I get up earlier in the morning at either 5, half 5, 6 a.m. Because it allows me to concentrate better. If I'm riding, not everybody else is awake yet, so it allows me to concentrate better. Or if I'm training, it allows me to get it done so I'm not worrying about getting my workout in later on in the day. And it works to get me into that kind of flow state where I can disconnect from the world and then all my ideas become clear at the end of my workout. And then I go about my day and I work for, you know, the 12, 13 hours after that. So one of the biggest things that has changed is reading more books. So what happened for me first was when I was working as a primary school teacher in London, I never read many books. And the truth is, I still don't read that many books. I only read about a book a week in terms of my overall intake that I get in. But I listen to probably 2 books a week and sometimes 3 because my eyes get tired. What I find brilliant with Audible and audiobooks is even if you've had a long day and you're tired and your eyes are strained, you can still passively listen to an audiobook. One of the reasons that I cut my book originally, The Fitness Mindset, which is the best-selling book, 8 weeks on Amazon, best-selling book in the Irish bookstores, and it's sold in the UK as well. And one of the reasons that I cut it down to 30,000 words was I wanted a book that people would read. I've literally bought books that have looked so daunting with 500 or 600 pages that I've never started them. And I wanted to write my book, it's 186 pages, so that people would read it and it cut out any waffle. Because the truth is, every book you read, there's only a couple of nuggets of gold in them, or there's some has 10, 12 nuggets of gold in them, but there's a lot of filler on pages just so they can bulk up the size of a book. I didn't want to write a book like that. I wanted to keep all the gold and I cut out everything that was possible to take out. And one of my favorite things in some of the books that I'm going to mention in today's episode is they're similar. The nuggets of gold in them, if you're in a place to accept the information that's in the book, it can change your entire life. One of the reasons that I struggle recommending audiobooks or physical books sometimes is that if you're not in a place in your life to accept the information, it may not change you. The example that I always use is Gary Kelleher's The One Thing, which is one of my favorite books now, where he effectively talks about that if you break everything down in terms of your daily output and what you need to do, there's normally only one thing that you really need to do every single day. And if you do it, it makes everything else obsolete or you can push it into another day. And I build a lot of my life. For those of you who listened to my episode with Trace, who was the Instagram competition winner, I talk that even on my daily layouts, I break my day into my to-do list, which is normally my one thing that I need to get done today. A certain video I need to make, an email I need to send, a piece of writing that I need to put up. And then I break up the rest of the day into the content that's going out and then my brand stuff, which is my Q&As, the stuff that I love doing that I would do for free. And Gary Keller's book took me 3 attempts because I listened to it twice and I got about halfway and then I stopped because I couldn't get anything from it. And the third time I listened to it, it's now one of my favorite books because I was in a place to accept the information that was in it. So even though I'm going to share the books that have changed the trajectory of my life, they may not be the ones that help you right now. But what I'm going to do is hopefully when I explain on the ones that have helped, I'll talk through where I was at in my life. I'll bring you to that period of time and the reason that the book helped me so much. So it's a case of not giving up just because you had a recommendation from me or somebody else. You may not be in a place to accept the information. There's nothing wrong with that. We have in our brain called the reticular activation system. It's basically your brain's internal GPS. It's what tells your brain what to focus on. And the example I gave, that if you're wearing the same t-shirt as somebody else, it's the first thing you notice when you walk into a room. That's your reticular activation system setting off. Books are similar. So when you're reading and you take a piece of information, you're going to get that knowledge and that golden nugget at that moment in time. One of the reasons that I reread my favorite books over and over again is because I'm in a different place in my life. I read Charlie Munger's Poor Charlie's Almanac. It's the only book that I have physically that I finish it and I go right back to the start and I reread it again, because it's one of those books that gives me something new every time I read it. Mastery by Robert Greene, which is my favorite book of all time, is a book I listen to every year because it allows me to access different information on people that have mastered their fields in sport, in athletics. He talks about Leonardo da Vinci, Napoleon Bonaparte, people who have mastered their field. The 10,000 hour rule, that you put 10,000 hours into something to become a master. And every time I listen to it or read it, I get a new piece of information or a new nugget of gold because my life is in a different direction. So today's episode, I'm going to talk on the books that aren't necessarily the books you must read before you die, but they're the ones that have changed the trajectory of my life, and hopefully it gives you something to add to your list and it will do something similar if you consume the books and information on them. So the first book brings me back to when I was working as a primary school teacher in London. So for those of you that don't know my background, I was a primary school teacher. I had a side hustle for 2 years where I was working full-time as a primary school teacher, but I was also taking clients in the park. I was in a gym temporarily. I went broke and then had to go back to a park and take a teaching job to pay my bills in London. And I set up my side hustle on the side, which is effectively training clients and doing fitness classes in the park. And I read a book or listened to a book. One of the things that changed my entire outlook was I've always been an audio learner. I'm not great physically reading because my brain just doesn't take the information in the same way. And somebody recommended this Audible app, which is basically the Amazon app for audiobooks. I have no affiliation with Audible or Amazon or anything like that, but it's the app that I use for all my audiobooks. I've got, I think, 450 books in my Audible library now, and I downloaded it 4 years ago before I moved to London. There was a book by Robert Kiyosaki called Rich Dad, Poor Dad that I had been recommended to by a friend when I was working full-time as a primary school teacher and I was doing my side hustle in the evenings. I downloaded this book in September and finished it probably in October. It took me a while to get through it. So on my commute to work, I used to listen to this book. And Rich Dad, Poor Dad is effectively, it's a book about a real estate investor in Hawaii. And he talks about his two dads. He had his real dad, who was his poor dad, who was highly educated. He had a master's degree, worked as a teacher, but was always broke. And he talked about his rich dad, who had dropped out of school, failed all his exams, but was now becoming one of the richest men in Hawaii. And he talked about how he learned from his rich dad and learned from his poor dad. And he talked about how he built up his businesses. He built up real estate. But what this book did for me was it shattered all my misconceptions on how to succeed in business and how to succeed in life by changing your mindset and the way you see the world and the way you see business. I grew up in a system, and I've got 2 degrees. I've got an honors degree in business. I've got a postgraduate degree in teaching. And I loved the system. When I went to college, I thrived in that environment because I loved the system. I loved giving speeches. I love the marketing aspect of the things that I did. But I always came through the belief system that my mom and dad had and my family had, that you went to college, you got a degree, you got a job, and that was it. And that's how you were successful. And I, because that was my belief system, I thought that was the only way that you could do it. And the truth is, when you see the world in a certain way, and you can only see it from one vantage point, you can't see the forest amongst the trees, because all you can see is the tree that's in front of you. And when I read this book, and he was talking about his poor dad, who had done a master's degree, he was working consistently nonstop, but never had enough money. They never were able to do what they built. They had a nice house and a nice car, but he had his poor dad, who was dropped out of school, who failed all his exams, and was now becoming one of the richest men in Hawaii. And it shifted my entire mindset that you don't need a degree in order to become the best in your field or to be successful, quote unquote successful. Now, I have numerous qualifications, and as somebody that came through that area of life and done very well in it, I have strength and conditioning background, personal training degree, I have all of these things, business marketing degree, and I'm telling you right now that it's not the be all and end all. It's not what separates you from everybody else. What separates you is the way you see the world and your ability to put in the right information into your head so that you can change your outlook on life and as a result, change the way your physical world is. Your thoughts become things. The things you put into your mind will become your thoughts, and your thoughts lead to your actions, and your actions dictate the entire direction of your life. There's getting a degree and getting a good job is one way of doing it, and it is a completely practical way of going through life. And they say that traditional education will make you a life or make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune. And Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, was my first book that allowed me to understand that the world didn't necessarily work the way I saw it because I had been brought up a certain way. And it smashed all these limitations. And I went and I've consumed all his books. I think he's got 9 or 10, and I've read all of them. That one's the best. Even though Retire Rich, Retire Young is also a cracking book that he's written about shifting your mindset, and that how poor people, regardless of poor, like poor being that closed off mindset, that they will ask, say they can't do something, and rich people, rich in all areas of life, will ask how can they do something, and that he speaks a lot on that everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. So he effectively is talking that if you don't put the work in, you can't get the results. So that book shifted my entire limiting belief system that I had grown up with and was able to change the direction of my life. To give you an idea of how strongly that book impacted me, I was working as a primary school teacher in September. That December, Christmas, I left my job and moved back to Ireland, moved in with my mum and dad, went on social welfare and started a fitness business. That book had such an incredible impact on the way I saw the world that I was like, do you know what? Whatever I create is going to be on me. If I want to go to heaven, I need to die. I need to be able to put the work in and I can get what I want. And that book shifted my entire mindset and allowed me to change the way I saw the world. The next one then is one that people have heard me mention a lot that follow me on social media, and that's Tony Robbins's Awaken the Giant Within. This is a hard book to recommend to people because you can't get the audio version. The audio version on Audible is just a synopsis that's an hour long. The actual physical book is a big book, and it's funny to see on Amazon, when my book is on the bestseller list on Amazon, that it's got frequently bought with this book is Tony Robbins' Awaken the Giant Within. So Tony, you're welcome for all the people that I've sent your way. But the truth is that book massively changed a couple of limiting beliefs that I had on my own life. I read that book probably about 12 to 14 months ago, and it's a big book. Like, it's one of those that you really have to eat the frog and look at it like eating an elephant. That how do you eat an elephant? You eat it bite by bite. And that's how I broke up Tony Robbins' book, because it's a mammoth size. And I just did it chapter by chapter. I was like, okay, I'm going to read a chapter a week until it's finished. And I broke it up that way. And I'm so happy that I did, because I had a couple of limiting beliefs that I didn't even realize I had. And one of the reasons that I read so much and I consume so many podcasts and I consume a lot of information that supports my end goal is it's trying to bridge that gap between things you don't know and the things you don't know. Because the things we don't know, we can learn about. But there's normally things that we don't even know we don't know. And that's where you can really get messed up. And when I was reading Tony Robbins' Awaken the Giant Within, and he was talking about belief systems, and he uses the analogy of legs on a chair, that if you've got 50 legs supporting a table, if you've got 50 legs supporting a table, and every leg is a belief, it's very hard to knock that table. But if you start taking away those legs, it becomes rockier. And then when you take them all away, you shatter all of those belief systems, and now you're fresh. They say Bruce Lee's quote, that a cup's usefulness is in its emptiness. And that's how I felt when I was reading Tony Robbins' book. I had a couple of my own limiting beliefs in terms of financial and monetary caps that I had, in terms of relationships, in terms of scaling my business to a certain level, that I had self-created, because all limitations are self-created limitations. Anything you say you can't do, Confucius says he who says he can and he who says he can't is both usually right. And when you tell yourself you can't do something, you're 100% right. If you tell yourself you can't make your county team, if you tell yourself you can't drop 3 dress sizes, if you tell yourself you can't get into a good relationship, you are 100% right. And what Tony Robbins' Awaken the Giant did for me was it allowed me to look at the areas of my life where I was holding these limiting beliefs and to take away some of those stables or some of those legs on the table that were stopping me moving forward. When I finished that book, the only analogy I can give is I felt like the world had a ceiling over it, or a glass container over it, and I felt that ceiling had been removed. It allowed me to look at the things that were important to me in my life. It allowed me to reevaluate what success looked like for me, because I didn't know. And the truth is, I always say that you can't hit a target you can't see, but you can't hit success if you don't know what success is for you. So I wrote down what success meant for me. Success for me was never worrying about paying bills again, because there was a time in my life, and I've spoken about this in other podcasts, that I was broke going through my couch trying to get money for the bus, because I'd spent all the money that I had trying to get a personal training business off the ground. And I was dead broke. I didn't have any money in my account. I didn't have anything coming in. I was horribly embarrassed. I didn't tell any of my friends. I was 23 or 24. And it was a horrible experience. One of the reasons that I'm so good with money now, and I'm so strong and very standoffish in terms of the investments that I make, was down to being stupid with it back then. And I didn't realize that a lot of my success wasn't down to what I was earning. Now, I'm very fortunate to make the living that I make, but my success was having to worry about never paying bills, because that was the month that I didn't know if I was going to make my rent that month. I didn't know if I was going to be able to pay the bills in the house with the other guys I was living with. That was a very scary and humbling time. And again, it's relative, because people in the world are going through a lot worse, but it's relative. And I remember feeling like an absolute failure. And again, this is something that I've learned over the years, that failure isn't an attribute. Failure is a thing that happens. And also, failure is just the way you see it. But I felt like a failure. I felt horrible about myself. My self-worth was at an all-time low. I had no money, and I felt absolutely horrible. I didn't know where I was going to get my next paycheck. I didn't know where I was going to get my money from. And I remember when I drew up my success ladder and the things that were meant success to me, it was not being worried about paying bills, not being worried about covering my mortgage, not being worried about having to put food on the table. And I wrote that down. And then below it was, I wanted to be able to take time off in the day to spend time with my daughter Holly if I needed to. If her mom was bringing her to a play place or a park, or she has a recital in a few years or a school play, I want to be the dad that was able to take an hour off during the day and go and see her, because she's the top of my value ladder. She always will be. Business will always be second or third, and other things will always be below it. And they were my two visions of success. And Awaken the Giant Within, on the chapter and when he talked about finding what success means for you, really allowed me to hone in on that. And then every decision I make to this point is down to, right, am I financially secure? And I'm very fortunate with the way my book has gone, with the programs that I have, the speaking that I do, that lots of different areas I'm very, very fortunate to be in, that I largely right now don't need to worry about finances for the foreseeable future. But it started with the success of not having to worry about paying bills. And then the rest of my life is geared towards working on my terms. One of the reasons that my programs are all online and that I even reduce back my speaking engagements and things now is down to being able to be around for my daughter and be able to spend time with her in the middle of the day or whenever it's free or whenever the time is set up to do that. And Tony Robbins' book, Awaken the Giant Within, really gave me clarity on that. And it's something that has stood with me since. And it's one of the reasons that I've been able to live the life that I've lived. And that book really bridged the gap between what I don't know I didn't know and the things that I had no idea even existed. Okay, the next one then is Ryan Holiday's The Obstacle is the Way. And this one's a little bit different because it's not that book that actually changed the direction of my life, but it was what that book gave me access to and bridged the gap between things that I didn't know existed. So to expand on that and break that down and flesh that out a small bit, Ryan Holiday's The Obstacle is the Way is a very, very popular book. It's a best-selling book, but very, very popular within NFL and within high-end sports people because of its ability to see everything that happens to you in life as an obstacle that you can reframe as a stepping stone to get closer to where you want to be. So when I was talking to Robbie Henshaw, who plays international rugby for Ireland, I recommended this book to him because there was a couple of things that he was going through. And I told him about that the amount of NFL players that had read this book, The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday, and how they got so much benefit because he was coming back from his pec injury, and how they used it for injuries, they used it for bad games, and they were able to reframe their mindset in terms of using obstacles as the way, using the obstacle as a stepping stone to getting closer to what you want. And what that book did for me, I listened to it probably 2 years ago, off the back end of competing. So I was just preparing for the Worlds in Las Vegas. I came 8th in the Worlds in the World Fitness Model Championships more than two years ago now. It was the last competition I did. My life took a completely different direction after that because of the decisions I was making for my health weren't in alignment with being the person that I wanted to be, particularly for my daughter. I spoke about it in my book, that it was becoming the version of who I wanted to be wasn't in alignment with that lifestyle anymore. So I took myself out of it. But I was in the gym, in my old gym. I used to train in the Galway City gym in Galway City. It's a big bodybuilder gym. And it's where all the top competitors are. And it was a friend of mine in there who, a good friend of mine now, and I still keep in contact to him to this day, told me about this book called The Obstacle is the Way. He said it's about Stoic philosophy. And I'd never heard of Stoic philosophy. I'd never heard of anything along those lines. But he goes, it's very up your street. He goes, I think you should check it out. So on his recommendation, I downloaded the audiobook. And it changed my entire life from that point because it introduced me to Stoic philosophy. And for those of you who've read my book in the mindset section, one of my favorite quotes of all time comes from Marcus Aurelius, which is everything we hear is an opinion, everything we see is a perspective. And Stoic philosophy, and Marcus Aurelius was one of the main Stoics. He was the former emperor of Rome. He wrote his book Meditations for himself to keep his head straight while he was one of the emperors of the world. Effectively, when you were the emperor of the old Roman Empire, you basically run the world. And he wrote his book Meditations for himself. And The Obstacle is the Way is largely a breakdown of Stoic philosophy into modern day language. So Stoic philosophy, and for those of you who've been following me a while, you know I'm a big fan of Seneca, who's a Greek philosopher. I'm a Roman philosopher. I'm a big fan of Marcus Aurelius. I read a little bit of Plato and Socrates, which is more Greek philosophy. But Stoic philosophy was written over 2,000 years ago. A lot of the best ideas from it were a couple of thousand years ago. So the language in things like Letters from a Stoic by Seneca or Meditations by Marcus Aurelius is a little bit hard to access because it was written so long ago. What Ryan Holiday's The Obstacle is the Way does is he breaks it down into modern day language and takes the messages from it and then breaks it into simpler terms so that you can apply it to your own life. So what that book did for me was it introduced me to Stoic philosophy. And one of the things, and as somebody that's had a history of anxiety and worry and stress, and anxiety is something that I spoke about in my book and I've spoken on other podcast episodes and other videos, anxiety is something that comes up and wells up within me. As somebody, I'm very, very grateful for my outlook on life, but sometimes I'm very, and I'll use myself because you're your own best example, sometimes I'm very much caught in the future. Like I can tell you where I'm going to be in 10 years. I can't tell you how I'm going to get there, but I'm going to tell you who I'm going to be and what I'll have as a result of who I've become. But sometimes that can lead to you going into an anxious state because anxiety comes from thinking about the future. It's different to fear. Fear and anxiety are not the same thing. Fear is where there may be an immediate threat that may cause you harm. Anxiety is worrying about an immediate threat where there's no chance of you getting harmed. And normally depression comes from thinking about the past. And living in that present in the middle of it is normally where all the happiness is, because the truth is, Dale Carnegie talks in his book, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, that living in day-tight compartments is the only really way you can live, because there is no future, there is no past, it's only right now. And what Stoic philosophy allowed me to access was that people have been going through these problems, that there's no new problem written down. It's all of us as people have had it, and people 2,000 years ago had the same problems. The comparison with other people, the worried about having nice things so that you looked better to your neighbor. All of these things that are problems for us right now, and even more so in the social media age, were problems 2,000-3,000 years ago. And Stoic philosophy allowed me to see that there is no new problem. It's been written down somewhere, you just got to go and find it. And it's gone a long way in terms of helping me deal with my anxiety, helping me keep my head straight and make decisions so I can scale and grow my business more, so I can help and serve more people. But Ryan Holiday's The Obstacle Is the Way was the book that introduced me to Stoic philosophy. So even though I love Meditations and I love Letters from a Stoic by Seneca, I never really recommend them because they're quite hard to access. The language isn't that easily translated. And Ryan Holiday's The Obstacle Is the Way is also an audiobook, and you can download it and listen to it. But it's one of my favorites and allowed me to delve into Stoic philosophy, which has done a lot to help me with my anxiety, which has allowed me to propel my life forward in numerous different ways. Okay, the next book then is normally the one I recommend ahead of Awaken the Giant Within for people that prefer to listen to audiobook. The book is The 20 Success Principles by Jack Canfield. So Jack Canfield is one of the main people who was featured in The Secret. And I think the reason that I didn't get that much from The Secret, obviously I have my own issues with the law of attraction without action is just a fucking distraction. But the law of attraction by its nature is brilliant if you can back it up with action. And Jack Canfield was one of the main people in The Secret. It was one of the reasons that I picked up the book to try and read it. But having read The 20 Success Principles first, I got nothing from The Secret because it took some of Jack Canfield's best bits but didn't give it any flesh or didn't give it any meat. The same with John DeMartini, who was another main feature in there. His stuff and work is great, but The Secret left a lot of it out. Now, by all means, I'm a fan of the fact The Secret has helped thousands and millions of people, but the law of attraction without action is a distraction. So not doing anything and just hoping the universe would give it to you, I don't necessarily think works as someone that's lived through, and I believe in the law of attraction. I believe that the universe will conspire and give you things. I believe in the cognitive neuroscience of the reticular activation system, and those beliefs serve me and help me. But I think if you don't put the action, you don't put the steps in place, you don't do anything. You can't wish to be a millionaire. You can't wish to be slim. You can't wish to have an amazing partner and just expect it to happen unless you do the work that it takes to get there. And what Jack Canfield talks about in his book, The 20 Success Principles, is taking ownership of things. That when you take ownership of a situation, you have control of it. When you have control of it, you can change it. So one of the reasons that the book worked so well for me, and one of the reasons I recommend it, is there's a lot of similar ideas to Tony Robbins' Awaken the Giant Within. Success leaves clues. And when you see the most successful people and the most successful authors and the most successful business people, they normally have the same patterns and the same routines. And if you copy them and do what they do, you'll largely get what they get. So what I found with Jack Canfield, and this started coming up time and time again in different self-help books I was reading, that taking ownership of any situation and everything you have in your life right now allows you to take control and allows you to change the direction of it. Like, I was the first one, and I would regularly sit and complain that, oh, well, I don't have a girlfriend, or I don't have a partner, or why can't I find somebody that, you know, is a partner for me, or whatever it is in that area of my life, because it was the area that I struggled with, and it's an area that I still work on. But the truth is, I wasn't taking ownership of the fact that there was stuff going on within me that wasn't allowing me to help and serve a partner or a girlfriend or somebody that you'd be in a relationship with. Jack Canfield's book allowed me to take ownership of the parts of my life where I wasn't stepping up, where I wasn't being the person that I wanted to be. And when you take ownership of something, you can control it. If your business isn't doing well, that's on you. If your relationship isn't doing well, that's on you. If you're not in the shape you want to be in, that's on you. You have to take ownership of it. And when you take ownership of it, you can change whatever direction you want to go in. But if you play the victim and you say, oh, well, why me, or the universe or the world or people are all against me, then you're never going to change anything. And when you're standing on the side of the majority, it's time to pause and reflect. And if you see a load of people in your circle, and I always say you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with, If you're spending your time with five people who are victims and are always seeing the world as something that's transpiring against them, or their bosses are always at them and it's always somebody else's fault, then you're going to become the fifth or sixth person. So you got to catch that and take ownership of it. One of the reasons that my network has got so small over the last few years, and I always say that I'd rather have four quarters than 100 pennies, is down to the fact that when you take ownership of the bad stuff that's going on in your life, or the perceived bad stuff, nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. But when you take ownership of the things that you're not happy with, you can change it then. What Jack Canfield's book did, and Tony Robbins says the same thing in Awaken the Giant Within, and countless other people say the same message. When you take ownership and stop playing the victim, you can change something. But when you blame somebody else and you put the blame on them because you don't have the job you want, or you don't have the body you want, or you don't have the relationship you want, then you're never going to fucking change it. So when you bring it back on you and realize that every feeling you feel is down to you, every decision you've made is down to you. If you're not happy with where your life is right now, it's up to you whether you want to choose to change it. Albert Einstein says that insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. If you're not happy with where you are and you're doing the same thing over and over again, you need to pause, reflect, and change what decisions you're making, and change the choices you're making, or change what you're putting into your mind. If you're sitting at home watching 4 hours of fucking reality TV that's putting garbage into your mind and making you see the world in a negative way, you have to take control that you've made the decision to put 4 hours of rubbish into your mind. You've consumed that information, and if it's affecting the way you see the world, then that's on you. Now, by all means, I'm the first one to say, use your reality shows, use your Love Islands, use your Coronation Street, whatever the show is that you're watching, or your sport, or your games that you're watching, use them as an unplugged time and a downtime to just reset your brain and reset your body. But if it's affecting your life in a negative way, and you're seeing the world in a negative way as a result, you gotta change that. But that's down to taking ownership of the decision. What Jack Canfield's 20 Success Principles told me and taught me was, every decision I've made, past, present, and future, is my decision. And I have to deal, we live in a universe of cause and effect. If you put the cause in, you're going to get an effect. The decisions you make are going to have an effect. If you're not happy with the way your life is going, you need to change the decisions you're making. If you're happy with, if you keep doing what you keep doing, you keep getting what you keep getting. So what I would advise is taking ownership of every single situation, and then as a result, when you have the control, you can change whatever direction of your life that you want to go, be it relationship, be it body composition, be it your job. And that's what Jack Canfield's book taught me. Okay, and the last one then is one of my favorites that I regularly recommend now. And I only consumed this book and listened to it probably about 6 months ago, and I actually finished it in a day. It's Viktor Frankl's A Man's Search for Meaning. This book is broken into two sections, or more near two-thirds is Viktor talking about his experience as a concentration camp survivor during the Holocaust in World War II. And he effectively talks that it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, that if you have a strong enough why to survive, you'll survive. And he talked about all his friends and family members and people in his life that died in the concentration camps, and how he held on to the vision of someday seeing his wife again, that kept him going through the harshest times. And he talks in very, very descriptive language on the kind of things that were going on in Auschwitz and different concentration camps in World War II. And what Viktor Frankl's book gave me was that reference point for, there's a lot worse going on than you. And the days when I'm feeling like I'm struggling. For example, I'm training for the Marathon de Sabla in the Sahara Desert, which is 256-kilometer run through the Sahara Desert that I'm doing next year, a self-sufficient race. And when I'm training and hitting my mileage and my runs, and I'm struggling physically and I'm hitting that wall, it reminds me that the human mind is a very, very powerful thing. And if people are able to survive the worst experiences that probably could exist from a human experience over the last 200 years by coming through a concentration camp and being treated the way they were treated, it makes me realize that the human spirit is one of the most powerful things on the planet. So it's now one of those books that I tell anybody that ever messages me about depression or anxiety or stress, I'm like, just give that book a read, because it makes you feel, you can't read Viktor Frankl's A Man's Search for Meaning and not feel grateful for the life that you have, regardless of what's going on, because it gives you such an unbelievably strong reference point for the horrible things that can happen in the world. And as a result, that book still helps me every single day when I see it, when I'm struggling mentally, when I need more spirit to get through the things that I'm physically or mentally pushing through. And it also makes me stay very, very grateful that I have a roof over my head, I have food in my stomach, and I've got a family and friends and a network around me. And that book really, really helps me with that. So they're the main books that have really changed the direction of my life. And as I said, I read a lot, probably 2-3 books every week. And I tend to consume a kind of eclectic style of books in the areas that I'm interested in. I read a lot of neuroscience, a lot of psychology, a lot of nutrition, physiology, a little bit of astrophysics at the minute, which I'm quite into. I've been watching the series Netflix, Cosmos on Netflix, which is an amazing series about astrophysics and the universe in general. So I highly recommend that as well. And I've been reading some books around that now as a result. So they're kind of the things that have changed the direction of my life. Not saying that you will read them. You may not even need to read them now, because hopefully the messages and the value that I've hopefully able to provide in this episode will give you what I took from them. And even though I have other favorites, I love Robert Greene's Mastery. I love Rewire Your Anxious Brain. I love Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. They're not the books that shifted my life in a different direction. The ones that I mentioned in today's episode are the ones that did that. They broke barriers. They broke through glass ceilings. They expanded limitations. They did lots of things that changed the direction of my life. So it's why I mentioned those ones in particular. So if you're ever wondering about books I'm reading, be sure to check my Snapchat, BrianK019. I put all the books that I'm reading up there, the audiobooks and physical books. So be sure to check that out on there, and you can screenshot them and check them out. Check the reviews and see if they're books that you want to listen to or read. So that's everything from today's episode. A little bit of a different one. So be sure to hit me up on DM and Instagram. Let me know what you thought. Did it help? Again, it's completely off topic in terms of fitness, nutrition, a little bit more mindset in this one. So hopefully you got a lot of value. For more information on my programs, my BKF online program, my GA Lean Body program, or my new GA Youth program, send me an email on my website, www.briankeefitness.com. My Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram is all Brian Keen Fitness. My Snapchat, BrianK019. And a massive thank you to Conor and Voxonic, who puts together my podcast episodes. Thanks for listening. Catch you all soon.